Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. Paul's. If you are new, I want to encourage you to visit our website, stpaulottawa.com, and please fill out our virtual connect card. Then we'll get back to you, and there you will be able to find all the important information. Today, we are physically distant from each other, but I believe it's truly a blessing that we can still worship our Lord together. So wherever you may be today, let us lift up our voices together. Let us praise the name of our Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins, but he conquered the power of death and he rose from the grave. Let us declare this truth as we sing this song. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Yeah. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Sing it out, Savior. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Find me all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, forever. Salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus rose and conquered the grave. One more time. Rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
You to our worship at St. Paul's here this morning. My name's Ian Shugart, and Pastor Grant is on study leave this week, so I'm happy to fill in for him. And as Jeff said, check out the activities of our church at the website, and let us know if there are issues that you need us to be aware of that we can pray about and help you in your circumstances. One bit of news I want to share with members of the congregation is that our sister Peggy Westbrook passed away this past week. One of the hard things about these days is our inability to gather with people who have been bereaved. We continue to remember those in our congregation in these circumstances, and we celebrate the life of Peggy, who was with us for a very long time. I'm going to pray now. Please join me where you are in prayer. Our loving God, we greet you on this springtime morning here in Ottawa. And we worship you this morning, Lord God, with your people right around the world, drawn together by one Spirit of God. We worship you this day. You know our circumstances. You know our need. You know that we are sinners, deep down, and so often right on the surface. And yet you love us, and you welcome us, and you want to save us. And we thank you that in Lord Jesus you have done that. And we gather in his name today to hear you speak to us, to sing your praises, to worship you in our hearts and with our voices. Accept us for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.
Let us continue to worship our Lord. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, to trust and obey. Spirit on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. This is my Father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me ring the music of the sphere. This is my Father's word, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and sea. His hand the wonders wrought. My Father's word, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's word, I rest in the fire. In the rustling grass, I fear him pass. He speak to me everywhere. This is my Father's word. Oh, let me near forget, and thou the so strong. Our God is ruler, yeah. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who thy shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Today's psalm reading is from chapter 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, Pastor Tammy will share the family time message.
It is about moms and dads in different seasons of life getting to spend time with each other. Short amount of time. We don't want to make this stressful. We don't want to take too much of your time. We want to keep you connected. We really care about our families. We care about our moms and our dads and our kids. And one of the best ways that we can take care of our families is when we take care of each other. And one of the best ways that I find to take care of myself is to connect with others. Coming up, both Jenny Allen and Tim Tebow are going to speak to you for a couple of minutes. Jenny Allen is soft and sweet, and she's going to talk to us women about being rooted in the Word of God. I just love her. I've seen her with IF, I've seen her with women's conferences, and I just love her heart for God. For the guys, we got Tim Tebow. He's fast, he's furious, and he is on fire for God. I can't wait for you to step in to This Is The Day and listen to what Tim Tebow has to say for short sessions. Hope you will join us.
Have you ever opened this book that you probably have a few of laying around and felt confused? And you open it at random and you pick a verse and you try to understand what it means to you and you feel lost and confused, and so you close it and put it back on the shelf. I feel like that was my life for a long time. I learned how to study my Bible when I was in my 30s. I had been a Christian since I was 17 years old. I had grown up in the church before that, and somehow never had anybody sit down and tell me how to study my Bible, what it meant, and how to approach it. And I am so excited that in the next few weeks, we are going to give you that tool. It sounds boring, but it is so far from boring. It probably is one of the best tools we may ever give you. You start to realize that all these other people that are giving you God actually go through a simple process to understand this book before they do that. And that you can have that exact same experience with God and the scriptures that they have. When you sit down and open this book, you're going to have some really practical ways to dig into it. So we're going to sit down and go through really basic steps that people have been using for centuries on how to study their Bible. And our hope is that as you do that, we're going to walk through the book of Philippians, that you will fall more in love with this book and you will not feel intimidated by it, that you will feel like you can open it up and you can learn about God for yourself.
Of work, that if you want to be good in sports, if you want to accomplish something, if you want to get better, you will learn to put in the work. It might hurt temporarily, but in the long run, it's going to pay off. So I found out that, wow, if I strain, if I strive, if I break down my muscles, they're going to grow back stronger. Well, guys, that's true in life. Too many people want to just be comfortable. They're always waiting for one day. One day I'm going to go on a mission trip. One day I'm going to get right with God. One day I'm going to go back to church. One day I'm going to start having a meaningful life. One day I'm going to have a life of significance. James 4:14 pretty much tells us that we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Guys, we don't know how much time we have, but we do know that we can make it count because we serve a God that loves us so much and He's invested in us and He wants to be a part of our lives, not just for one day, but for this day. So yeah, I want you to pursue your passions, but more than anything, I want you to pursue your purpose of the plan that God has for you. You're never too young. You're never too old. It's never too early. It's never too late. It is this day that you can do something that matters, that you can have a life of significance, of purpose, of meaning. It can start today for you because the God of this universe has a purpose and a plan for you, and He's not waiting for one day. It's starting on this day.
So, what did you think? This is The Day with Tim Tebow for the guys and Rooted for the women. I will be looking forward to hearing from you this week. Can't wait to connect with you. I'll be waiting for you on Zoom. I've sent you all of the information on how you can get connected. I look forward to this. God bless you this week.
Usually at this time, we give our offerings and tithes to the Lord. And today, if you are able, I want to encourage you to continue to do your regular giving. It can be made by mailing a check, dropping it off in the office, or by e-transfer in our church website. If you're new to our church or you're just visiting today, then please don't worry about it. Also, if you are in the place where it is a little difficult for you to give, then please don't worry. But I want to encourage you to continue to trust our Lord that He is faithful and He is the sustainer of our lives, especially during this difficult time of COVID-19. I hope and pray we will all receive God's provision and providence. Let us continue to worship the Lord by singing praises to Him. Speak, O Lord, as we come to You to receive the food of Your holy word. Take Your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in Your likeness. Let the light of Christ might be seen today in our act of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all Your purposes for Your glory. Thank you. us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitude in the radiance for your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majesty of love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let the truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truth unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. Church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Well, I have to confess that even seeing how the inside of this operation works, it's all a little strange. I haven't preached to an almost empty room before. I've preached to a few people, but never an empty room. But I know you're out there, and I know that it's wonderful for us to connect this way. I certainly have been looking forward as the week progresses to every Sunday morning when we can connect, even virtually, and be encouraged and taught from God's Word and sing together and worship Him and feel together. But I miss your faces, and we look forward to that time when we will be together again. These are days of strange circumstances. They're days of anxiety and uncertainty. And as we look around our own country and elsewhere in the world, they're even dark days. They certainly were dark days at the time of Jerusalem's fall to the Babylonian Empire in about 600 BC. At that time, the king of Babylon went to the various capitals of countries that he had conquered to form part of the Empire of Babylon, and he would take some of the elite of that country and cart them off into exile in Babylon. They were well treated because there they were to be educated. They were to be taught the language and the culture of Babylon. And they were to be appointed to the court to serve the king. And their old ways were to be expunged, done away with, and replaced with the knowledge and the trade and the skills and the work of the kingdom of Babylon. There were three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their new Babylonian names that they were given. These three men were among the exiles carted off to Babylon. And they remained faithful in those circumstances to their God, and God used them. He granted them success in their new circumstances, and they were in due course appointed to positions of authority in Babylon. Well, one day the king decided to bring together all of the officials, the highest officials and the lowliest officials throughout his empire, bring them into the province of Babylon, and on a plain in that province he had set up this massive statue, this massive image of gold. And it was not of himself. It was an image of one of his gods. But the instructions were very clear. When the music starts, everyone was to bow down, face right down to the ground, and worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And that's what happened. You can just imagine the pageantry, the color of the local costumes and robes, and the finery of the court as all these officials met together. And the music started, this vast band of different instruments. And when that happened, as indicated, they bowed down and worshiped this image, with the exception of these three young men, these three friends. Well, this was reported to the king, and not surprisingly, the king was furious. And he said, "Bring them to me." And they were brought to him. And there follows this exchange with Nebuchadnezzar and these three young men. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horns, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." This and the story before it and after it is the word of God to us today. Is this just an old story? A wonderful, familiar Sunday school story if we grew up in Sunday school, or a story that lingers on in the culture to inspire us, to encourage us, to assure us that the good guys win in the end? Is this something to give us some excitement and brighten dark days? I think there is a serious story here with serious lessons for any who are serious about their faith. Underneath our circumstances, underneath the reality of our lives and what happens to us, is our attitude to God. What we really think about life and about God. The truth is that it's very unlikely, if not almost impossible, that these circumstances would befall any of us. It is worth remembering, though. In fact, it is essential that we remember and realize that around the world today, this is the reality for many of our brothers and sisters. Many do face prison or being deprived of their livelihood or everything they own. Even they face death for being loyal to Jesus, for even being part of the community of Jesus' followers. And we might feel then that this story is not particularly relevant to us, but it is. Because underneath the story, underneath our circumstances, is what we think of God. And the core of this story is three things that these young men, these friends, say to the king. The first is, our God is able to deliver. God is able, they tell him. And this is an expression of their confidence in God. The program of education has not taken away from these three young friends their experience, their heritage of the God of Israel. At the very core of their identity as the people of God is that God delivers. They go all the way back to their founding as a people, as God rescued them from the slavery of Egypt and brought them to the place that they would inhabit. And ultimately, they saw God able to deliver during the time of David, who established the kingdom. And then, during the times of the great prophets, Elijah and Elisha, this was a time of wonders that lived on in the story of those people of Judah who were faithful to God. And of course, as a whole, Judah was not faithful to God. But that conviction that God is able, that God is a deliverer, was right at the core of their conviction. How is it with me? How is it with you? Are we really convinced that our God is able? That he's able to deliver? That he is able to accomplish his purposes in the world today? If I am really convinced that God is able, is that reflected in my prayer life? Does it affect how I pray and what I pray about? If I'm convinced that God is able to deliver, what does that do for my peace of mind? What does that do for my anxiety levels? And I don't mean, does it always make me happy? Does it allow me to float above the circumstances of life as though nothing is going on? But deep down, how afraid am I? Do I know peace really deep down inside me if I'm convinced that God is able to deliver? Their conviction is that God has not left his throne. As we sang this morning, that though the wrong seems often so strong, God is the ruler yet. Does that conviction that God is able shape my outlook on the world? Shape my outlook on the issues of the day? Actually change my outlook? They were convinced that God is able. But then the next thing they say to Nebuchadnezzar is, but if not. This is an expression of submission to God. He is able is an expression of their great confidence in him. But then they say, but if not, an expression of submission to him. Now, we might be tempted to think that this was a psychological ploy on their part, or a kind of an internal mental trick that to soften the blow of disappointment. There's talk about salvaging the playoffs, the NHL playoffs these days. And I used to follow the playoffs, especially in years when the Ottawa Senators made it to the playoffs. And each game would come along, and I always prepared myself for the possibility of the team losing by predicting in my head that they probably wouldn't win. But if not. Have you ever prepared yourself psychologically for disappointment in a job interview? Or dampening your expectations at exam time by telling yourself that you probably won't do all that well? Is that what this is? God is able, but if not. Just Friday, I was in a conversation with a colleague who resorted precisely to that mental preparation for disappointment and recognized it as such. Maybe, but if not, was softening their answer to Nebuchadnezzar. Just toning down the defiance a little bit. But if not, well, no, because they began their response to Nebuchadnezzar by saying, we have no need to answer you in this matter. No, but if not was submission to God's will. And the supreme example of that, of course, is Jesus, who went to pray the night that he was arrested, the night before his trial and execution. And there were no crowds. There was no solidarity and comfort of friends who stood with him. It was quiet, deathly quiet in that garden. And Jesus knew what was in store for him, and he said what is eerily similar to what these three young men say: Father, all things are possible with you. And I'm recounting from Mark's narrative of Jesus' life. All things are possible with you, Father. Please take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. But if not, that is submission to God's will, even though it rests on a conviction that he is able. Now, the furnace was heated 7 times more than it already was, so furious was Nebuchadnezzar. And the 3 young men were thrown into the fire. And there in the fire, they were unharmed, and indeed they were met by a 4th mysterious figure. I believe that that was an appearance of Jesus before his incarnation later on in human history. He, in my view, my reading of Scripture, does this from time to time, enters our reality in physical form. And I believe, we can't know for sure, but I'm satisfied that that was Jesus. And the story ends well. But they didn't know that. Is it possible, can we imagine that Jesus, if indeed it was he who joined them in that fire in their time of testing, later in his time of testing, remembered what they had said to Nebuchadnezzar, God is able to deliver us, but if not. And the third thing they say to the king is, nevertheless, know this, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image. They express not just their confidence in God, not just their submission to God, but their loyalty to God. We will not bow down. And this is a reference point for all of us. These 3 young men provide a reference point for our faith. Their response to the king, their conviction, their loyalty to God is a strong reminder. It's a compelling example to me that they will not serve anyone other than God. Faith does not, if it is true faith, depend on circumstances. It depends on what I have decided about God. They will not worship any God other than God. They just won't. Because of who he is. Now, our circumstances may not be very pleasant, and we may pray desperately for God to change our circumstances. And we may pray desperately and want desperately for those circumstances to change, and the things that we want might even be perfectly legitimate. And they might be entirely consistent with God's character and principles of Christian living. But if not, Isaiah describes the foolishness, the inherent foolishness of humankind making and conceiving and manufacturing solutions and then worshiping what humankind has created. He describes the builder of an idol. Who fashions a god or casts an idol? The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry and his strength fails. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He cuts down a cedar. He plants cedars so that he will have cedars to cut down. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. Half of this wood he burns in the fire, and the rest he fashions into an idol. And he warms himself and says, "I'm warm, I've seen the fire." The rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They will not worship anything other than God, because only God is God. Now we have the historical fact of the resurrection to encourage us and inspire us to know that God is able to deliver. And yes, that inspires us. But we go through our lives and we have doubts and we have fears and our courage fails us. And God knows this. And he is patient and he bears with us. And thank God that you do. I need your patience, God. But what is my bottom line conviction? That God is the only God there is. And if I let my loyalty to God depend on my circumstances and things turning out the way I want them to and the way I desperately pray for them to, if I cannot say, "But if not," then there is idolatry mixed in with my faith. If our faith is not monogamous, there's idolatry mixed in with it. They were delivered. And God was honored in the process. The king was so amazed at how they were delivered by their God that he issued a proclamation that this God should be honored, and anyone who spoke against their God would be cut into pieces. Not the way God particularly goes about honoring himself, but that was a brutal time. God was honored. But here's the thing. If they had not been delivered, rescued from the fire, God would have been honored as well. The cosmos would have witnessed these three young men saying, "God is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not worship any other God, because he alone is God." May we find more and more in our lives, in our outlook, in our prayer, in our convictions, that God is able to deliver. But if not, we will worship no one and nothing else. May he help us to be those kinds of followers. Let's pray together. Lord God, you alone are God. We tell you this in our praying this morning. We acknowledge in our hearts, in our minds, and with our voices that we believe you, that we believe you are unique. You are the living God. We thank you for all that you have made. We thank you for the deliverance that is available to everyone and that we have tasted from sin, from the threat of death. That even though our bodies become frail and die, yet we shall live because Jesus has conquered. Jesus has delivered through his death and resurrection. And we read in your word that it is that same power that brought Jesus back to life that is at work among us who believe, who follow you, who have given ourselves over to you. And on this day of Pentecost, when the church around the world recognizes that you sent your Spirit into the world to be with every believer, that we would not be left alone, but that you yourself would connect with us, would inspire us, would be in that secret core inside place of our being to renew our faith, to show us your truth, to show us your purposes for our lives, to give us strength to obey. We pray for your church right around the world today. We pray for our own fellowship here at St. Paul's. And in these days of separation and of connection through virtual means, we pray that we might learn the lesson that we are connected with all believers everywhere, with believers throughout time, with believers yet to come, by that one Spirit of God. How we thank you that you bring us together in that one faith because we have one Lord and one Redeemer. We pray for those of our fellowship who have special needs at this time, whether they are financial, about employment, or necessities that cannot be met. We pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, those nearest to them, closest to them. We mourn the loss of our brothers and sisters. And yet, Lord, we also know that we will meet again in a setting that is far, far better than anything we experience here. And it will never end. It will never be interrupted. And you, yourself, living God, will be in our midst. And we will worship you, unfettered, unlimited, unexperienced ever before in this earth. Give us minds that look forward to that day of reunion. And keep us here and now in these days of uncertainty, these days of challenge. Keep us united with you, living God. We thank you for our salvation through Jesus. We thank you for sending your Spirit to equip us and enable us and give us peace and, yes, joy in our hearts in these days. We pray that we will serve your purposes well, that we will be the friends, that we will be the voices, the hands and feet of Jesus in our community, in our circumstances, in our world. Stand between us and everyone that we meet so that we will see each person with the eyes of Jesus. And that each person will see something in us of Jesus. We believe, Lord, you are able to do that. And we believe that that is something that you want to do always, and that you will do this day and in the days to come. All this we bring to you with thanks and with your generosity and mercy in forgiving us. Help us to go on in the strength of the Lord. We pray in his name. Amen.
I want to encourage you to sing the last song with us. The name of the song is Jesus. And I want to encourage you to remember that name and cry out to name if you are going through tough times in your life. Maybe you find yourself in the valley of depression. Maybe you're going through physical pain. Maybe it's about emotional struggle. Maybe you're going through spiritual warfare. It's so difficult in our lives. But what we can remember is that Jesus came to earth and he has gone through everything that we are going through right now. And so he knows exactly how we feel. When we feel like we are in the fire, he's there right beside with us. I want to share another psalm. It's from chapter 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I hope and pray we will remember the name of Jesus and worship our Lord who is able as we sing this song together.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things of yet to come. And there is one born for our salvation. He is Jesus. There is a light. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. And there is freedom from the chains that bind us. He is Jesus. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire. Together. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb, he carries my healing in his hand. My Savior, there is power in your name. You're my waters, who speaks to the seas, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb, he carries my healing in his hands.
Jude finishes his letter with this word about God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. This, brothers and sisters, is the God whom we serve. Go in confidence, go in submission, go in loyalty, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.